Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to your Partner in Success Radio, hosted by serial entrepreneur Denise Griffiths. Denise offers a full menu of on-the-web services for all your online needs. Denise and her team of virtual assistants can help manage your online business, including social media channels, blogs, web portals, and more. YourOfficeOnTheWeb.com is a comprehensive resource to help you combine the power of your brand, your connections, and innovative ideas to develop a full online strategy that can guarantee a strong profitable impact on your business.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to your Partner in Success Radio. I'm your host, Denise Griffiths, and my mission every week is to bring you the most interesting entrepreneurs and business people that I can find who are really excited to share their business wisdom, their tips, their actionable advice, the path they took with us each and every week. And today I get to welcome fellow podcaster Ben Kruger. He's probably best known around the water cooler as the podcast marketing guy, and he has become the go-to authority on positioning, cultivating, and growing small businesses through the power of podcast marketing. Excuse me. Ben is an entrepreneur, a world traveler, and small business podcasting expert. I love that word. He's an expert. And you'll have to excuse me. I have a new cat who I recently adopted who pretty much hates everybody. So if you hear, I'm just going to let him figure it out. I can't keep fighting with him. So anyway, Ben is the founder and CEO of Authority Engine and Small Business Podcasting, which focuses on helping small business owners, coaches, consultants, authors, and experts succeed. Best known as the host of the Authority Engine podcast, he's a go-to leader on growing small businesses, again, through the power of podcast marketing. And while running his podcasting service and training empire, he travels the world. I hate you, Ben. I'm just going to tell you right now, I hate you. And he lives in various countries from Thailand to Costa Rica and loves experiencing new cultures. Okay, we're friends again now. That part I get. But his true passion is helping others others by sharing his expertise. Ben, welcome to the show. I don't get to travel. I'm just too tied to my desk. So I'm just going to say right now, I'm big time jealous.
Well, I really appreciate you having me on, Denise, and that is one of the perks that I set out with for myself, was to make sure that I had that travel opportunity. But yeah, I'm excited to be here and excited to talk a little podcasting shop and wish you the best of luck with that cat. That sounds, she does not sound friendly.
He's not. He's been here 2 weeks, and it has been a massive struggle, and I'm a cat person. I've never ever had a cat that was just so unhappy. I don't know what to do with him. It's been an experience. So, I'll get it figured out. So, anyway, I'm sorry that happened. And I figured it would. I figured that right about the moment I start talking, he'll come out from underneath the armoire and go, all right, who's next? And he did.
Yep. Typically, that's how it goes. Yep.
It is what it is. He'll either settle in or he won't, and we'll have to figure out what's going to happen from there. But it's loud for right now. But anyway, let's before we get started, Ben, share a little bit about yourself. You've got a great story. I would love for you to share it with the audience, and I would love to hear more about your entrepreneurial journey. Like, one of the reasons that we go into business for ourselves, entrepreneurs, we have very clearly defined reasons why we do it, and yours is one that you want to travel. What got you started down this road? Because you're a pretty young guy.
I am, and I'm glad you brought this up, because it's really kind of a core motivator for me, and kind of getting into business was I realized in my first couple of jobs really quickly when I kind of shuffled through them in about 3 to 6 months tops at one spot that I was not a very good employee material. Like, the concept of following somebody else's system to help make them money, while I was kind of in a cubicle, the four white walls type of approach, was not something that appealed to me. So my journey really started in Idaho, actually. I graduated Ohio State University in 2011, and after that I moved out to Idaho for about a year while I had a couple of kind of oddball marketing jobs and kind of shuffled through each of those really quickly in about 3 to 6 months per spot. And so I had three jobs couldn't really stick with them for the long term. And I got an opportunity through one of the podcasts that I was listening to, Tropical MBA at the time. And it got me inspired to want to kind of do the work from anywhere, live from anywhere, travel, that whole, you know, the 4-hour work week approach, which, you know, just sounded fantastic. So obviously that was really appealing to me. And I got this opportunity to, or I heard about this opportunity to go to the Philippines and do online marketing for a resort in exchange for food and a room. And so like, as soon as I heard that, that was just me, you know, like that really sung true to exactly what I needed. I needed some space and time to do my own thing. So I went, I made sure that was the best application I've ever created. I got it and, you know, kind of got the email of, hey, pack your stuff, see you in 2 weeks. So a little over 2 weeks later, I was ground floor in the Philippines. And that's kind of where I got started from. So I made some good friends in the podcasting industry. Actually, the host of the show, Tropical MBA, Dan, that I had been listening to and that had been getting me through those kind of 9-to-5 days. And he was talking to me about how big of a pain post-production can be. And after he went on and on and on about it for a while, I said, well, heck, I can do that. And I started, he was my first client doing the production. And that's when I really kind of saw the power of podcast marketing. So before that, I'm a marketing guy. I'm not a tech guy. You know, a lot of people in the podcast community want to debate this microphone versus that microphone and all this kind of yeah. tech crap, and I could care less. Like, that is not my thing.
They do.
I get excited about, yeah, exactly. Oh, my gosh.
I listen to some of those and go, you know, sometimes the phone works just as well. Calm down. Everybody calm. Take a breath.
Yep. Everybody chill. It's okay. Yeah. You know, as long as you can record your voice, that's really the bottom line. So I kind of saw how powerful podcasting can be as a marketing tool to help kind of build, engage, and grow an audience for a business, because these guys ran a membership site and their podcast was doing really well at the time. It was growing hand over fist. They were getting people taking pictures of themselves all across the world listening to that podcast and then, you know, submitting it to the website and submitting questions. And a lot of those people, most of them, were members of their membership site. So it was kind of my first view of how somebody used podcasting as a business tool, and that's when I just got psyched about the whole deal. Started doing it for myself, started growing the actual service business, and applying what I had learned through working with those guys to other business owners that came to me wanting to podcast but not really understanding how the strategy worked, how, you know, you can take somebody from listener to paying customer and all those kind of pieces, parts that can be a little bit milky when you're getting started. So that's where my passion came into it, and I've been running it from the Philippines, Thailand, Costa Rica. Now I'm in a lot less sexy an area, Ohio, but hey, you know what? I'm still having a good time.
America's sexy. Part of it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Oh, come on. What a great story. I mean, and the thing is, I mean, you saw something that went, because I'm like you. You put me in a room with a cubicle or other people. I run with scissors. I don't play well with other people. It's just not. Entrepreneurs don't.
You sound very much like your new cat.
Yeah. We may wind up getting along really well. I don't know. But the thing is, entrepreneurs kind of, we tend to follow our own path, and I love that you just went, this is not going to work for me. I want to travel, and you just made it happen. You took immediate and massive action, and I love that part of your story.
Yeah, and I'll be honest, you know, I was dragging my feet. I was looking for an opportunity of some kind to go out on my own, and obviously I had switched jobs like 4 times in 1 year, which was not starting to look good on the resume.
No.
And and so when that opportunity came up, it was like the perfect slap me in the face, this is for me type of a deal.
Right.
And so it was just really perfect timing, and I was really thankful. And then one of the, I didn't touch on this kind of at the end of my story, but the part that really got me excited about the whole podcast marketing is, you know, obviously it combined marketing, which is a passion of mine, with podcasting, which is a powerful content tool. But then I started getting feedback from the people that I was working with, from their audience, of the impact that their show had on them. And, you know, the fact that a podcast is what got me out of my 9-to-5, got me running my own business, living from wherever I wanted in the world, was, it just kind of hit home that helping other people who have that power, that leadership, and that influence potential to maximize that via podcasting was really something exciting. So that's what's kept me rolling here over the last couple of years.
And you just said something that really grabbed my attention, and that is that it's a content tool. And I think a lot of people don't really understand or recognize that podcasting is very definitely a content tool. So if you don't mind going into a bit of, you know, just give the audience a bit more descriptive narrative about that, because I understand what it means. I do this every week, but some of I'm still looking at that darn cat. Sorry. He's looking at me with a bad look on his face. and he's a big thing. He's a 22-pound cat. This is, I don't want to turn my back on him right now. Explain to people why this would be so very powerful to them if they feel like they've got something to say. And this is something that I come across all the time, Ben. People go, well, I don't really have anything to say. Are you kidding me? Go. I mean, just tear that one apart. Go.
I'm really glad that you brought this up, because this is one of the main fallacies in podcasting. And I did a episode about this a while ago, like the three main fallacies, and this is the number one, is people assume that podcasting is a business in and of itself, and it's not. So knock it off. it drives me nuts. You know, people come, and what happens is they've seen John Dumas do it with a daily podcast, and, you know, he gets sponsors, and now I don't know what he does from his sponsors anymore. At one point, he was doing $40,000 a month with his sponsorships, but that is, for the average person, podcasting is a content tool and a marketing tool to promote a business or an offer behind it, and not in a super salesy way, but in a way that, and you can back this up, in a way that allows you to build a relationship with that audience, expose yourself to a brand new audience, be very shareable and viral as far as that goes, as well as get people to know, like, and trust you as a person, because you get to share a lot of your knowledge, a lot of your expertise, your personality, who you are, what your interests and likes are, and people connect with people. And that's why podcasting is so powerful, because your voice is literally in their ears as they're cruising around, you know, jogging, walking, taking the bus to work, whatever. And so it allows you to build that relationship and then help people take that next step in their lives, whatever it may be, whatever your topic is. So, you know, if you're talking about losing weight, if you're talking about, you know, building handmade wooden boats, whatever it may be, people always kind of have this end goal that they want for themselves. And so that content should help them along that journey. And then whatever you have to offer as a business, service, product, whatever, is that next step for them.
Right. And, you know, people learn differently. I mean, I'm an audible learner. I like to listen. I like to read. I don't care for videos. Never have, never will. And but that being said, I'm a voracious reader, and, of course, you know, Brandon Bouchard, remember when he was sending out his book, The Charge, a couple of years ago? I mean, everybody got a copy of this book. It's a fantastic book, but for some reason, and I, you know, I follow him. I'm on his newsletter list. I have a high regard for him as a marketer, but for some reason, that book just did not grab me. I had it hard copy. I had it on Kindle. It just never made it past my gates, my resistance, whatever it was. So then I realized that I had it on Audible. I went, oh, well, let me see. That was a whole different kettle of fish, let me tell you. Because at that point, I'm telling you, that book came alive for me because I could hear it in his voice. I could hear his passion. I could hear the nuance. When I was reading it, I didn't get that. So people
yeah,
do,
and I can,
they do listen, and they want to, you know, they need to know you.
Yeah, I as well am an audio learner, so whenever I have books, I always get the audio version
mm-hmm.
so that I can listen to them as I'm, like, you know, flying in the airplanes or whatever.
Right.
And so I agree
listen
with
to
you
them
wholeheartedly,
when I'm going to sleep.
So everybody's got it.
Right.
You know.
Everybody has their
oh,
own
I can't
style,
do that.
But, oh, I do. I don't sleep real well anyway. I'm a cat napper. I just, you know, sleep in fits and starts, but I will go to bed with my iPad, have an Audible book. Last night I was listening to, I know what it was. It was John Chapman, The Five Love Languages. I have no idea why. That just happened to be next in the rotation, and I listened to him all night long.
Nice.
I woke up happy, so I guess that's a good thing. But,
there
you know,
go.
I would
a
wake up enough.
Subliminal reinforcement.
Yeah. I would wake up enough to go, oh, that's interesting, then I would go back to sleep. So it's just something, and I'm not recommending that people do this if you're a heavy sleeper, obviously, but I think listening to people is a very good way of getting to know them. In fact, to me, it's the most important way of getting to know them.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that makes podcasting different from, say, blogging. In through words, you can portray personality, you can portray through writing style, who you are. However, it's a heck of a lot easier when people can hear your voice, they can hear your candor, they can hear that personality, the passion, and it allows for that deeper connection.
Right.
And really, when it comes down to, especially for like coaches, consultants, authors, those types of personality-based brands, it's super powerful. And that's why that's who I focus on as the target market for my services, is because that's who I can help most. You know, we don't bother with hobby podcasters because, you know, we're here to help people market and grow, not necessarily just yak about, you know, whatever they enjoy yakking about.
Okay, so when you're working with clients, what is something that you tell them that helps them? I mean, do they come to you, I guess this is my question, do they come to me and say, well, I don't really have anything to say. I'm not sure what you mean by content marketing. How can this really help me? It seems to me that there are so many uses for podcasting. I mean, it allows you to stand out in your industry. You can position yourself as a leader, as a thought leader, as a great resource. How would you respond to that if people say, well, I just don't have anything to say?
Absolutely. So you touched on two of them, Denise, and I really like that approach, particularly for, you know, these kind of business owners. One of the other things that I really enjoy about podcasting, particularly if you want to do some form of an interview-based format, is the networking opportunities are unreal. You know, if there's somebody that you've been wanting to connect with or somebody who's got some influence in your industry that you know a relationship with that person will help you out and you can help them out, it's so easy to make that connection for a podcast interview and request a podcast interview with them versus, you know, in no other way would you be able to say, hey, so I want to hop on the phone for 45 minutes and ask you the questions that I've been dying to ask you.
Right.
Unless it's a podcast interview and you're sharing it with an audience and you're helping promote them as well. So that connection and that ability to kind of make these initial connections with people who are bigger influences in your audience or in your market is unreal. It's
mm-hmm.
helped me grow my business really quickly, and kind of a lot of people will know that those relationships are absolute gold. And so that's
oh, yeah.
one piece, and there's a whole so many more. Like you mentioned, you're able to position yourself in your marketplace and very precisely as well. You can position yourself as, you know, that no BS expert person. You can position yourself as the reporter who's going to all the top dogs that are already seeing success, and you're helping bring that information to them. You can do the, you know, hometown boy makes good type of an approach to where, you know, I've lost a bunch of weight. Now I want to help you lose a bunch of weight because I've just gone through it myself. There's a lot of interesting positioning opportunities, and it's very easy to do with podcasting. because it helps you get out there in front of an audience, as opposed to, you know, your website is a lot more difficult for people to find. It's kind of like what James Schramko calls his octopus principle, to where you have all the tentacles of your content. So your content might be on YouTube, it might be a podcast in iTunes or Blog Talk Radio. You know, it might be pictures from your episode on Instagram, like all of those kind of social media and content pieces then lead back to the head of the octopus, which is your website, where your main content is, as well as your offers and the place where people can make that next step with you.
Right. And you said something earlier that I think is so important, that, you know, people really can kind of define their audience or their niche, which is really true. And that leads me to my next question, which would be, and I'm just kind of playing the client here, because I think people need to know how this operates. Say, well, okay, but I'm looking on Blog Talk Radio and I'm looking at iTunes. It seems like everybody and their grandmother has a podcast right now. How do I stand out?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And what it comes down to is being very specific with your audience and who you're trying to serve. And what I've created essentially is the lucrative listener test, or at least that's what I call it. It's a four question little test to help you figure out who your audience is, because if you can be very specific about who your audience is, it's very easy to mold your podcast to that very specific audience. And then it's less about quote unquote standing out, and it's more about serving the market that you're there to serve. And if you do that well, then that will be something that grows naturally. Because if you think about it, and if, you know, for all the listeners out there, I want them to think about, how did you guys start listening to this podcast? It's probably because somebody you know said, hey, I really like this show, check it out. Maybe they did that via social media. Maybe they mentioned it to you personally. But that word of mouth is really how podcasts spread. And that's purely because people are getting value from it already. So if you serve the market that you've already got really well, and you hone in your podcast that way, then it's really easy to stand out, because you're solving the specific problems of your audience, and then that allows your audience to grow. So the four question test that I came up with essentially allows it, it helps you back up as a business owning podcaster and think about who your audience should be, or, you know, kind of how that should be arranged. So what it is the very first step is to think about yourself and your business 1 to 2 years in the future, and think about that optimal client or customer that you want to have. So part of that is who already buys your highest profit or highest margin products and services, and who buys them on repeat. If you don't have that business component yet, who is it that you're most excited to serve, and who gets the most value from what you offer? That's kind of a really important one. And then who most actively shares the content that you share with them? You know, where are those, what you call, I forget what a couple of the marketers out there are calling it, like sneeze influencers or whatever.
Yeah.
So these are the people that influence the groups around them. So who are those people that are your target audience? And then finally, and probably most importantly, is who do you as a person get a lot of personal fulfillment helping serve, whether that's clients, whether that's customers, whether that's, you know, advice, whatever that may be. So kind of helping combine those helps you get a really clear picture for who you're targeting, and whether that's your current audience or not, that's okay. Now we've got a foundation we can build from.
I love that because, I mean, you're instead of, and I've seen this happen, instead of just kind of throwing up a podcast and hoping for the best, which, by the way, is not good marketing. It's not a good plan, and I've seen it happen. You actually have a plan. You know who you're trying to approach. You know what you're offering them. You know what kind of resource you're going to be. You know who they are, kind of where they live, what it is that they need from you. And once you have all of that into play, then of course you have plenty to say. You have plenty to share and to offer. Makes perfect sense.
Definitely, definitely. And when you understand, so, you know, now that you've got that group of people figured out, the next step is understanding their wants, needs, desires, and fears. Because then you'll have stuff to talk about for days and days and years. Because once you understand those people, I mean, that's kind of marketing 101, but as soon as you understand what that person's going through in their mind, that's when you can create compelling content that, you know, gets them excited to listen to your show, subscribe to your show, and then, you know, take that further action with you, whatever that is, whether it's, you know, sign up to your email list or, you know, sign up for a free coaching consultation or whatever that may be.
Right. Do you, I haven't heard these guys in years, but do you happen to remember the car guys, Click and Clack? Did you ever come across
I've heard of them, but I never listened to them.
Oh, they're hysterical. They've got these terrible accents. They're really hard to listen to. And I would hear them in the car, and every time I think of a podcast, I always go back to them, and they weren't really a podcast. I think they were on NPR. They may still be. But they had this very unique, and they still do it, I believe, very unique show where they did exactly what you're talking about. They solved problems for people. They understood pain points. People would write to them and say, okay, I have this, I don't know what to do about this, and they would solve the problem on the radio. It was a brilliant, brilliant format, and I think that's what you're talking about here, is where you just get on there and you say, okay, you know, we're here to help you. Bring it on.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so one of the things with figuring out, you know, how you want your podcast to be is you got to consider what kind of a format of a show am I looking to provide here? You know, what experience do I want that listener to have? Is it something to where I want them to come on with a problem and I help them solve it? Or is it more education-based? Is it, you know, exposing them to new ideas and helping them think through it themselves? Or is it more entertainment-based? You know, it really comes down to who you are and your personality and then who your audience is and what they're looking to get from you value-wise. So there's always kind of a balance there. And that's why these kind of one-size-fits-all, you know, podcast formats are not working so hot for a lot of people that try to get started. It's because they assume that...
Now, what do you mean by that, Ben? Can you give us some examples?
Absolutely. So a lot of people have gotten started with podcasting, and they have a, you know, 35 to 45-minute interview-based podcast to where they have, you know, 7 to 8 questions pre-scripted because that's, you know, that's an inspirational podcast. Excited to start podcasting, but it doesn't serve the audience that they have. So it may have served their purpose, but it doesn't serve the audience that they're trying to serve. And in doing so, because instead of thinking about their audience and how they're trying to serve them, they just thought about how other people did it for their original, like what got them excited to do it, then they become to where they're not unique. They kind of fit into that mold because they, you know, kind of use what got them into it as opposed to what will get their own audience. And it's got nothing to do with copying. I'm a big fan of copying. I got nothing against using what's already working, but make sure that it's already working for the audience you're serving, not for a different audience for a different purpose.
Right. Okay. And I wonder because, and listen, I have heard some of these pre-scripted, very tilted interviews, and I don't stick around long. They don't grab me. They don't interest me. And frankly, I'm kind of insulted by them. It's almost like they're so dumbed down that you can't stick. I mean, it's like I got to go.
Well, and I think it serves a very specific purpose, particularly like the interviews that are very inspirational based. Like they serve that purpose of sharing somebody else's story and how they got to where they are, and so it kind of puts it in terms that are realistic to the listener of, okay, well, if they did it, I could do it, you know, that approach.
Right.
However, if you're actually trying to get, you know, actionable information, or if you're trying to get, you know, something different than a inspirational story, you know, the story that has come from multiple other people, and, you know, typically these stories are formatted in the same general types of ways. Everybody's got their own story, but you know what I mean? Then that format probably isn't going to work out for you. And so it really, you have to consider what format really works for what you're trying to achieve with that podcast. So maybe it's something that's a little bit more loose conversational, kind of like your show, Denise. Maybe it's something to where you've got three very specific questions that you have for that guest that you're going to answer, and you know, you keep your topics very tightly knit around that. That's kind of what I've done with Authority Engine and with the podcast that I run, is I focus in on three very specific areas that somebody does really well, and then each one of those becomes its own episode. So it's kind of like this short and snippy pieces. So it really comes down to what are you trying to achieve with your show, and what format really kind of helps magnify that.
Mm-hmm. That's excellent advice. I mean, I love that advice. Listen, speaking of specific, because I do want you to get very specific if you can, to, you know, give our audience as much information as they can so they can say, okay, as you can rather, so they can say, okay, I want to do this. What are my first steps? And I think you just gave the first steps. Identify your market, identify your audience, and what's the second step from there?
Yes. So identify your market and identify, you know, kind of that audience you're serving. Number two is really identifying what you want for yourself, because a lot of people, again, kind of see everybody else doing these certain business models and just assume that that's how it has to be done. One thing that has allowed me to do what I am is keeping that in mind that I want to be able to travel. I don't want to have any physical location, so it allows me to build around that. I know that that is a constraint going into this, so it allows me to build my business around that. So for you, the listener, it may be, you know, 2 years from now or 5 years from now, I want to be living in a mansion, you know, flying the old G5. And so obviously that's going to require a certain business model. Whereas if your goal is to, you know, create a reasonable monthly income to where it requires very little work on your part, and so let's say you only have to work about 10 to 15 hours a week and you can spend all that time with your family, that's obviously going to be a totally different business model as well. So that's one of the pieces that I want to fit into before we go way down this road, is getting really clear on what you want for yourself, your time involvement, your effort, and what you are intending to get out of it in the end game anyway. So I know I'm getting kind of, you know, theoretical on these things, but those are kind of the first two steps. So once we're clear on that, then step three is get really clear on what your audience wants, needs, desires, fears, you know, what are they looking to achieve? And this is actually much more simple than a lot of people make it out to be. If you can think about kind of that perfect audience member that we just mapped out, and if you can think of somebody that gets close to that, just give them a call and, you know, do a quick interview with them to ask them, and kind of use that as your model. And so once we have that, then we can consider, okay, for a podcast, how can we, you know, entertain, educate, you know, help out this person with a podcast? What would be really uniquely exciting to them? Maybe those are, you know, maybe that's short and quick, you know, quick tip-based episodes. They're 10 minutes long. They're just solo episodes. Maybe they're, you know, 45-minute interviews to where you talk about somebody's story. You know, it really comes down to, for that person, what's going to fit. So, you know, if you're podcasting for busy CEOs, you're not going to want to have an hour and 20-minute long podcast episodes. You're going to want to have something short because they don't have all that kind of time. So now that gives you kind of a baseline to plan your podcast around. So you consider, you know, do I do an interview-based podcast? Do I do a panel-based podcast where you can have multiple people on? So you have like 3 to 6 people and you run the panel, kind of like if you've been to any sort of event and they've got a bunch of speakers and one person that runs the event. That's one method to go about podcasting as well. You can do co-hosts, you can do, you know, solo, and you can also think about the components of your episode. So typically with a podcast, there's some form of an introduction of, you know, what we're going to be talking about in the episode. There should be the main content piece, whatever that is, interview-based, you know, advice-based, whatever. And then there should also be some form of a social engagement piece. So this can take a couple of forms. One is, you know, kind of doing shout outs for listeners that have emailed you, that have, you know, tweeted, that have, you know, shared anything about them that your show or your brand or your business or you personally have had an effect on them. You know, that could be iTunes reviews, that could be anything. The whole point here is to recognize specific people in your audience for engaging, and that gives you kind of that social proof that other people are looking for naturally when they're listening to a podcast. So that's one approach you can do. You can take listener questions and, you know, have people submit or actually do them live on air, totally up to you. And then one of the other pieces that I really like, especially if you are looking to build that community vibe, which a lot of, you know, personality-based businesses are built on, is you can highlight inside the community, whether you focus on your Facebook community, whether you have some form of a membership site, is you can highlight something that's going on right then. So what's going on when you're publishing that episode, something that's interesting, something that's helpful to that audience that would encourage them to go check it out for themselves, because that allows there to be kind of that natural transfer from listener to, oh, I need to find out more about this person because they were just talking about, you know, how in this message thread they addressed this specific issue that I'm having right now. And so it allows people to take that next step with you, which leads into my final component for a podcast episode, which is a call to action, and a very strong one. By that, I mean some form of a request for somebody to take that next step with you. And typically, it's with them sharing their email address with you in order to receive something, whether that's a newsletter, whether that's a free report or video training or something like that. But those are kind of the core components of a podcast. And there's lots of other options, but those are kind of the essentials.
And you just said something that made me go, uh-oh, and I know better than this, but I don't have a call to action at the end of my radio show. Shame on me. So guess what I'm going to be doing?
Perfect, perfect. Well, and, you know,
thank you.
It's always a learning curve. There's always, you know, I've been doing this for a while. I've been doing it for, I don't know how many podcasts I've launched at this point, but, you know, sometimes when I bring in a new client, they'll come in with some kind of an idea that I had never considered before. We'll try it out. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But that's how, you know, that's how you learn and grow as a business owner, is keep trying stuff.
And that's just it. And, you know, when you said that, I went, well, yeah, I already knew this. I just hadn't done it. So, I mean, you're right. Yep. Sometimes it takes somebody to point out the obvious, and you go, well, okay, I'm going to go do it right now. So thank you for reminding me, because I know it, you know, I needed to do it, and I just never have done it. And this time I'm going to, because I said it on the radio. Sure. Now I have to. So let's do it now.
Well, and okay. I want to add one, like, last little mini piece to that. Can I?
Okay. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Perfect. So with calls to action, a lot of people, if you're listening to podcasts, you'll hear this all the time. You get to the end of an episode and they say, oh, you can check out the show notes at our website / episode 55. And you can check out our website and you can get a free gift over here at this URL.whatever/whatever. And you can join our Facebook group. And I would appreciate it if you'd share this show with your friends and hop on iTunes and leave us a rating and review. And you give them like 18 calls to action. And so, of course, it's that typical, you know, kind of dilemma where people have too many options. They don't do anything.
So right.
The key is to have 1 to 2 very clear calls to action. And so one of them should be in the social engagement realm. So whether that's submit a question or, you know, send us your thoughts via Twitter or, you know, leave a blog comment on our show notes page that if you've got any questions about it or whatever, or however you go about this certain approach that we talked about in this episode. So that's one call to action that should be a focus. And then the other is for a next step that that person can take with you. So typically that's where we're talking the email sign up or the email capture offer, whether that's, you know, joining your newsletter, whether that's a free report that will help them achieve X, X, and X, or a mini video series or whatever it may be. But 2 calls to action max at the end of an episode. And you can sprinkle them out, you know, and as natural conversation flows throughout the episode if you have others, but I would keep it as minimal as possible.
I like that. And so it seems like somebody some years ago, I think he was a car salesman, and he said, you know, we are trained not to show anybody more than 3 cars if we can avoid it, because after a while, it's all a blur to them. They cannot make a decision. And that makes sense.
Yeah, and I forget, I think it was Frank Kern, he was talking about, and don't quote me on that, it was one of the copywriters. They got hired by a watch company to run an ad for their watches in a magazine. And so the owner wanted to run an ad with 8 different watches on it. And the copywriter said, no, let's just do 1 watch. And because the owner didn't want to, he said, all right, let's test it. Let's run two ads in the same magazine, one with the 8 watches and one with just 1 watch featured. And the one with a single watch, I think, converted over 3 times as much as right. The one with 8 options. So that kind of goes to show that base psychology of how people make decisions.
Well, your brain can just assimilate so much at one time. And especially if you're listening, you're either driving down the road or you don't have a pen in your hand and you're going, what was that again? So it can get really annoying very quickly. So that's a great tip, and I like that. Thank you very much. Okay, so
it makes it very difficult to order at a Mexican restaurant.
Oh, God. I know. I mean, they've got 3 pages of stuff in their back-to-back. It's like, can I just have a taco? Because you can't make a decision. It's crazy. Okay, so one of the things that I really wanted to ask you is, how do you, you know, let's assume that you've got your podcast up and running. You're gaining some traffic. People are really, they're listening to you. They're sharing. They're giving you great feedback. Now, how do you convert this thing into paying customers and brand ambassadors? Because that's the next big step, isn't it?
Absolutely. And this is where there's a lot of disconnect with podcasters right now. And so I want to address this, and I'm glad you brought it up. The very first step is that clear call to action. And so I'm glad that we got that. But I want people to think of the podcast as a content marketing tool to where you can build this relationship with people. It's kind of like the buyer cycle, if you will. This is very common, knowledge in sales, but people aren't always in the right part of the buying cycle to actually purchase from you or to take that next step with you, whatever that means. And so the point of the podcast is to build that know, like, trust relationship, and then also to keep them, keep giving them value and keep kind of engaging and building them until they're at a point in the sales cycle to where they want to engage with you further. And so that's where your call to action comes in and converts them from just a listener to an email subscriber or community member, whether that's Facebook, whatever it may be. But email is the easiest because then you can reach out to them at any point, and you know, kind of email is kind of king when it comes to that approach. So once you have that, then you can walk people through whether it's autoresponder sequences or whether it's, you know, you promoting your weekly newsletter or weekly content that you're publishing, that kind of stuff. You can continue to build those relationships while making an occasional offer to them. Whereas in a podcast, even if, let's say, last month you got 30,000 downloads, which is, you know, pretty great for a podcast, even if that were the case, and this month you have some kind of a call to action, there's no guaranteeing that those people will listen to your episodes. Whereas if you've got a email, you know that it'll at least go to their inbox. They may not open it, but it's at least going to go to their inbox. So our goal here is build that know, like, and trust factor, get them, continue to offer them value until they're at the point where they want to take the next step with you and they're ready to come to you as opposed to you going to them. And that's when you continue to build the relationship as well as offer whatever your products or services are that helps them achieve the goal that they're looking for or take that next step or whatever it may be. So it's kind of a very simple go from listener to email subscriber or community member. And from that point, you're able to make the occasional offer and continue to build that relationship by offering value.
I like that you said occasional offer because nobody wants to be sold to. They just don't.
Of course. Yeah,
it's against everything that, you know, when I know I'm being sold to, my spidey sense goes off and I'm out the door. But if I consider you a resource and I think that you genuinely have my best interest at heart, that you're just bringing me information, offering up information, and eventually if and when I need your services, you will be top of mind for me. I will go, let me go to Ben because I've been watching him, listening to him for a while. I like the way he works. I've seen what he can do. I've seen the social proof. Ben, it is.
Absolutely. And some subtle points is you've, especially if you offer some kind of advice in your podcast or, you know, there's going to be value or advice in some sort, and think that people have been listening to you give them advice or give them value for a while now. So then when it comes to the point where you're looking to, you know, send them an offer of some kind, it should be in that same positioning of you giving them advice because this is the next step for you to get here. And this is what I've created because I have helped a lot of people do this, and this is the system that I've created that helps people do that or whatever, you know, whatever it is. So it's still kind of that continued advice like you were talking about, Denise. You're not selling them, you're offering because you know that's the next step that they need.
Right. And you know what else? And I don't think we planned on talking about this, but one thing that happens when you set up your business the way that you and I are talking about is that not everybody is going to need your particular service or what, you know, whatever it is that you have, your particular tool, your app, your service, your coaching, whatever it is, but everybody knows somebody. I am always astonished by how many people get referred to me, people I've never done business with. It's unlikely that I will because they're just not in my particular arena, but they know somebody. And because they've been listening to me and they know and like and trust me, guess who they refer?
Absolutely, absolutely.
And that's a huge marketing tool that I think people don't talk about.
Yes, I agree. The interesting thing to me, particularly in industries where there's conferences or live events, because at those conferences, you know, people start talking about the similar experiences that they have. So whether that's challenges in their business, whether that's, you know, something that's going on in their lives, and that's the perfect place, and that's where I see it all the time, is these kind of what I call the blind referrals, which is what you were talking about, Denise, where people that are part of your audience but are never necessarily part of your clientele or customer base, that's when they are, you know, very willing to share you and what you do with people that they're just having random conversations with, because, you know, they kind of connect on this same basis, and that lays it up really nicely for the referrals. And then they already have the know, like, and trust factors, so when they refer, it's not, you know, this blind, you know, it's a lot, not like the person came across it randomly, so it's a lot more powerful when it comes as a referral, and that's, you know, I'm kind of referral-based marketing, but it's really powerful.
Very much so. Now, I have heard this, and I bet you have too, I've heard this from clients who will, because as you know, I'm a virtual assistant, online business manager, and web developer, so I have clients in all genres, all areas. And I've heard this from several clients, well, I don't want to go on any more radio shows because, you know, I just don't have any direct sales from there, and I just want to smack my head against the wall real hard. So can you run with this one?
Absolutely. So one of the caveats is when people go on to an interview, they don't think about who is the audience of the person that I'm coming on for. So you got to be very specific on the actual podcast you go on in the first place. Because if you're going on radio shows or podcasts or whatever, and they're not your target market, they're not that person that fits into your lucrative listener, you know, four-question test, then you probably shouldn't be talking to that audience anyways, unless you just feel like it. So number one, it's make sure you're going on the right shows. Number two, it's have a clear objective being on that show of what value you're going to offer that's something unique to that audience. Because if they've heard what you're going to share with them 16 different times on 16 different shows, of course you're not going to get anything from it because you're not presenting anything new. And you're not presenting any, you know, unique value to them. So there's going to be nothing in it for them. And as well, one of the tactics that works out really well is if you can develop a few tools that are really helpful for your industry, like, you know, kind of what I've talked about, the lucrative listener four-question test, and create a free report and use that as a call to action on other people's podcasts. If they're okay with it, you can say, you know, hey, so I developed this resource that is really helpful for you guys. If you want to find out, you know, who your most profitable listener is going to be in the long run and how you can target them better, I created this free tool. You can grab it at, you know, yourlink.com/gift or whatever it may be. And so that way there's a direct conversion funnel from that episode. And of course you want to make sure that the host that you're talking to is okay with it. And you want to make sure that it's a value offer and you're not, like you said, just pitching. It should come up naturally in conversation, and that should be a tool that helps them achieve an immediate and very specific result.
I think what you said there, what I'm taking away from what you said, which is very important, and you can tell me if I'm hearing you correctly, is that people who go on podcasts or radio shows as such as this, as a guest, shouldn't just be flattered that they're invited. They should actually have a plan for being on that show. They should have a tactic to convert the audience in some way.
Definitely. And if you listen to people who do like podcasts or blog guest posts and all that kind of stuff for book launches or for product launches or stuff like that, you'll see that when their product or when their book or when their whatever is coming out, you'll see that the interviews and guest posts and whatever from them just start cropping up across the interwebs everywhere. And
yeah.
While they have a lot of different topics that they're talking about, yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Because oftentimes it's the only time some of these people will do interviews. So like people like Tim Ferriss or, you know, that kind of stuff, they don't do interviews very often, but when they do, they're promoting something. Mm-hmm. But if you listen, they're always offering value first. It's always something that's very unique, and it's always something that's very valuable to the listener. And then they always have some kind of a call to action that is, you know, you can learn more about me at my site and, you know, we're just coming out with this book or this product or, you know, I've developed this tool or resource for this industry that's really helpful. So there's always a give value that's very unique and specific and then some form of a call to action that is, again, a value add, but it allows that person to take the next step with them and kind of lead them into a you know, funnel for them as well. So does that make sense?
Absolutely. And I've tried to explain this to clients of mine who say, well, you know, I keep getting invited to radio shows, but I've never sold a book from it. Well, you don't know that. What was your tactic in going on? And I've had largely the same conversation, but some people are just, no, I just don't want to do it, which is fine. I absolutely get that. But I try to explain them, you cannot quantify it. It's kind of an organic thing. But if you have a plan, if you have a, you know, if you have a real plan for going on that show and you do everything that you just laid out, Ben, you're going to get some feedback, but you can't just kind of go, oh, thank you for inviting me. You know, here you go. And, well, yeah, but now why haven't I sold a book? It just doesn't work like that. That's all I can say.
The other thing that I've actually been kind of toying with some of my interviews is you can actually track from email signups. So email is a big part of your lead funnel. So let's say I came on here and I had developed a free checklist that I know would help small business owners do something. And I said, you know, hey, so I developed this tool. It's actually specifically for your audience. I'm excited to share it with you guys. You can grab it, authorityengine.com/Denise or whatever. And I can track people
like
who
that.
Signed up from that. Yeah.
By the way, if you want to do something like that, go right ahead, and I will send people to it. I would love it.
Well, the lucrative listener four-question test that I referenced a little bit earlier is at authorityengine.com, and I forget what the link is. It's been a little while since I set that up, so I'll find it in the background. But the point here really is to make sure that value add is something that is truly valuable and unique to the audience, because if it's not, then you know you're just trying to pitch something anyways.
Right. Ben, can you believe this hour has gone so fast? We've got about 3 minutes left. Are there any secrets to integrating? I know. I told you it would go quick. We have so much fun on this show, and my guests are always so great about giving great information that, honestly, it just goes so fast. So do you have any secrets to integrating podcasting for your business, or have we kind of covered that? Is there any kind of 1, 2, 3 steps that people should know?
The biggest thing is, you know, and we touched on this, is to get very clear on who you're podcasting to make sure that is actually who you want to bring in as a client or customer for your business. So that's kind of the very foundational, make sure you have that before you do anything else. The other piece is to, make sure that you're podcasting as a marketing tool, not just, you know, I'm podcasting because other people have and they said that it works. And so I'm just going to throw something up and see how that goes. That is not the way to go about it, because you're going to be unimpressed by the results. But as far as actually getting started, you know, get clear on your listener. And I just checked out the link. It's authorityengine.com/listener. So for that 4-question test. But get clear on your listener, get clear on your goals, and then what I like to do is pull out a sheet of paper and literally, like, have little boxes and arrows and say, you know, how the funnel works, because it is part – it's an extension of your funnel. So kind of think of
Absolutely.
It as an autoresponder series or as, you know, the phone call follow-up. So it is part of that. So think of it as such and kind of map it out on a little piece of paper so that it's clear in your head, and it helps you stay focused as opposed to just, you know, talking about whatever you feel like talking about on that episode.
Excellent. You know what? I had some other questions. I really wanted to go into the differences between just being in iTunes or being on Blog Talk Radio or some of these other radio shows where they want to kind of charge you a fortune to get on there. I don't like any of them. And I didn't get a chance to ask you about any of those. Would you be willing to come back another time and delve deeper into that aspect of it? Because there are so many choices now, you know, for people to do a podcast, but it can be very confusing. Where do I start? What system do I use? Do I need a microphone? And I know you deal a lot with this on one of your websites. So if you would come back, I would love it, but also share the link to some more of this information on your website.
Yeah, I'd be thrilled to come back. That would be fantastic. And if you want to get started, there is kind of an outline of all that information in the content that I publish at authorityengine.com. I've got a little Authority Engine TV show there to where I talk about these little pieces and parts. And one of the things that I'm kind of developing is a blueprint of sorts for, hey, here's all the tools you need, you know, so you don't have to sit in the forums and debate minutia for days and days and put it off more. So
exactly.
Some of that is on its way, but anyhow.
Excellent. Well, I would love to have you come back because we just kind of, we got to the tip of the iceberg here on this topic, I believe. And you know so much about what, I mean, you really know your stuff, so I'm really anxious to have you come back and share some more information with the audience because it's a big topic.
Absolutely, it is. And, you know, you get me going, we could talk for days. So I'd be thrilled to come back.
Good.
And,
good.
You know, we'll make sure we've got more value for you next time.
Well, and I have to share with you in the chat room, and I know we're no longer streaming, but we are still recording. I'm just going to kind of read this stream to you because I think you need to hear it. It's like so good to hear him mention the V word, value. And then he said later on, he mentioned value 3 times in less than 1 minute. So value is very, very important to our audience. So I think you really hit a nerve with that, and I'm glad to see that people are responding to it.
Good, good. Because, yeah, that is what it comes down to. And having that focus of, you know, you're not doing it to you have to focus on, I'm not doing this to sell stuff. I'm doing this to help them achieve a result. Because as soon as you make that mental switch, it becomes a lot easier.
Well, it is, because you can just sell something so many times before people just say, go away. I don't want to listen to you anymore. You are no longer a resource. Maybe you weren't ever a resource. You go now. And it happens.
Mm-hmm.
So you're so right. Well,
you
listen,
go now.
Thank you. You go now. Listen, thank you so much for being with me here today. Tell people one more time what your 2 websites are so we can end the show with that.
Perfect. AuthorityEngine.com is where all of our content and all of our free goodies are, and SmallBusinessPodcasting.com is where all of our done-for-you podcast production and launch services are. So that's my home bases.
And you have a newsletter on one of those, right, or both?
Authority Engine has a podcast and a TV show, and with the emails, I don't technically call it a newsletter. However, you know, there's multiple emails per week with, you know, the new content that we're putting out, as well as some, you know, just tips in the emails.
Excellent, excellent. Well, listen, you have been a joy to speak with, and I learned something new from you today. I learned something new from each one of my guests, and from you, I went, I am going to go change my call to action. I'm going to add a call to action. So
perfect.
That is next on
perfect.
My list, and thank you so much. I know our audience learned a great deal from you today. I know I did. And everybody, the show will be available for download in about an hour, and you can also find us in iTunes. Just type in our names, Denise Griffiths and Ben Kruger, and I will see you next week. Ben, thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me on and excited to be here. So,
you can
anytime.
Find Denise Griffiths at your office on the web.com or at gottagovirtualnow.com. Thank you for joining us on your Partner in Success Radio.